Good morning, planet Earth. It's just after 1:30 a.m. on the Olympic Peninsula, here in fantastic Washington State. Yes, indeed, it's Wednesday, hump day, October the 30th. Can you believe it? Tomorrow's Halloween. Have you purchased your candy? Have you made caramel apples? Did you put in the razor blades? Oh yeah, we're not supposed to talk about that, are we? Oh my God, Dan, they don't do that. Nobody puts razor blades in candy. Nobody poisons anything. First topic. So, I'm going to read an article as much of an article as I can, but before I continue, I'm going to drink some sacred coffee. Sacred coffee blessed by the robots. This article comes from the New York Post, and it was published yesterday, October the 29th, 2024, Bo Blimp Doc. Headline: sick list of Diddy's alleged requirements for girls at his freak-off sex parties revealed, including the important question they were never asked. Wow. This was written by Steve Helling, and I read on. Sean Diddy Combs was extremely particular about the women who attended his freak-off sex parties, with one party planner telling the Post she kept a scale in her car to ensure no female guest weighed more than 140 pounds. "We would do a weigh-in if necessary," said the organizer, who worked with Diddy in 2004 and 2005 and asked to remain anonymous. "The girls had to be young and hot, so I always had a scale nearby in case I needed to make sure. The number was 140 pounds, but if a girl was really tall, there was a little bit of discretion involved." At Diddy's decree, there were certain other requirements. No flab, no cellulite, not overly pierced or tattooed, no short hair. Yeah. Read on, Diddy. No short hair. And the girls had to be young and hot, right? Even the dress code was strict. No pants, no jeans, no flat shoes. Every girl had to wear a party dress, preferably very short, just enough to cover her butt cheeks, but no longer than mid-thigh. Cleavage is showing, and every single one of them had to be wearing stilettos. That one, there was no exception. High stilettos. Wow. One thing the organizers never asked, the source said, was the girls' ages. It was don't ask, don't tell at the time. I was really young myself, and I honestly thought that we weren't asking their age because of drinking laws. I never stayed around for freak-offs and had no idea that these girls were expected to have sex with people. A second source, a petite dancer who performed at Combs' 2005 VMA afterparty, told the Post that she was paid $250 to dance at the mainstream event, but was told there was an extra grand if she went to Diddy's house later. Diddy's house later. "It felt shady," she said, noting that she was just 20 at the time. "So I didn't go, but other girls did, then really wouldn't talk about what happened there." The Post has viewed more than 24 videos of raucous sex parties, which appear to be footage of Diddy's freak-offs that were tied to mainstream events such as MTV Video Music Awards or the Super Bowl. In the videos, women who fit the description can be seen having sex with men as Combs seemingly watches in the background, dressed as Superman. In one video, it appears that Diddy himself took part in the action, holding the camera from his point of view while he appears to engage in sex with a woman. The alleged behavior is consistent with similar allegations made earlier this month. In one lawsuit, a woman alleges that Diddy and a female celebrity raped her when she was 13, following the 2000 VMAs at Radio City Music Hall in New York. Also, Texas-based lawyer Tony Busby revealed a fresh wave of accusers, including one who was just 9 at the time, who were planning to sue the embattled music mogul for alleged sexual abuse and exploitation. Yeah. Oh, boy. Combs has repeatedly denied wrongdoing. His attorneys denied the latest allegations in a statement. In court, the truth will prevail that Mr. Combs has never sexually assaulted anyone, adult or minor, man or woman. Federal officials raided 2 of Diddy's homes in March, seizing hundreds of sex videos and a mountain of sex paraphernalia, including 1,000 bottles of baby oil and lube. In a statement, the U.S. Attorney's Office alleged that the sex parties were not always consensual. His alleged sexual abuse of women included forcing them to engage in frequent, days-long sexual activity with male prostitutes, some of whom were transported over state lines, according to the charges against Diddy. These freak-offs were elaborate sex performances that he arranged, directed, and often electronically recorded, the documents alleged. To ensure participation in freak-offs, Combs used violence and intimidation and leveraged his power over victims, power he obtained through obtaining and distributing narcotics to them. Wow, he sounds like the CIA. Exploiting his financial support to them and threatening to cut off the same and controlling their careers, authorities alleged. Yeah, me too, buddy, me too. It's unclear whether the videos that the Post has viewed are part of the Fed's case. Diddy has been charged with racketeering, conspiracy, sex trafficking, and transportation to engage in prostitution. In addition to the charges, he faces a myriad of civil suits from his alleged victims. He has pleaded not guilty and said the freak-offs were consensual. His attorneys did not return the Post calls for comments. Okay. Dan, why the fuck did you just read that? And, you know, part of me wonders why, too. Really. I think on it. I ask you, as I ask myself, to be a bit of a Sovietologist and see through these stories. And the story of Diddy, you know, on the one hand, seems like a distraction. Clearly, he seems kind of greasy, but who the fuck has been alive as an adult since the fucking 1980s and doesn't realize that the rap, hip-hop world has a lot of unsavory shit going on? They talk about it in the music, dummies. So, it's a little weird. It's a little weird because what I'm seeing is gross. He could be a pedophile. If he is, you know, hopefully consequences are what they are. But it doesn't seem like something, and I don't know how to put it, it doesn't seem like something that we have a clear view of. Some would call this an October surprise. Some would say, well, somehow they're trying to, you know, dirty Trump or something. I don't know. I don't know what to think of it. I'm not going to say I don't care. I do care. I care that adult men take advantage of young women. I care that any adult takes advantage of kids. And if he did that, then he's a giant piece of shit, right? But at the same time, I wonder about, and this is a result not just of the last year, but of my experiences of the last 20 years, I wonder about the fucking parents. I wonder about the fucking adults who were supposed to make sure their kids didn't go to a freak-off. If there were kids at these parties, you have to ask yourself, what the fuck were the parents doing? And if these kids are homeless, then it does sort of beg the question, what is your fucking solution? Because every other fucking day, from the far right in this country, I get a, we got to do something to protect the kids. And then the very next post, they're posting videos of kids stealing at the Target. And then the post after that is, can't we just put the homeless people, which includes the kids, on McNeil Island? Do you want to protect these kids? If you do, and there are kids on the street, I don't know how to put it to you, they are in fucking danger. You can be pissed off about adults who are homeless. You can have all kinds of opinions about crazy people and drug addicts and thieves. Believe me, they got all of that at the House of Representatives. But if you got kids on the streets, they are being victimized, period. And they will be victimized, and then they will grow up to victimize others, or they will simply die young. That's the truth. You can say what you will about the creepy fucking predators like P. Diddy. I don't give a fuck. He looks like a lecherous piece of shit. He probably is a lecherous piece of shit. But if you're gonna put all this on Diddy, you got a real fucking problem. Next topic. Dan, we gotta protect... I know, you always say that, Mr. Scrembo. In one post on social media, you'll say protect the kids. In the next post, you'll say put all the homeless on McNeil Island. What the fuck do you think happens in prisons or camps? What the fuck do you think happens in the jungles of these cities? And a jungle is a homeless encampment, and every fucking American city and probably every city around the world has one right now. What the fuck is your plan there, shithead? What do you think happens to unescorted kids in the jungle? What do you think happens on the street? What do you think happens when the random cop picks them up? Oh, but the cops are all good except for the bad cops. Well, you know, shithead, the good cops watch the bad cops do some terrible shit. Next topic. I'm sorry, but stories like this enrage me, not so much because P. Diddy's a shithead, obviously. It's because people don't ask the second question. Where the fuck were the people who were supposed to look out for these folks? Like, where the fuck were the parents, the friends, the adults? Were there any? Or were they encouraging it? Is it entirely possible, plausible, that there were adults, parents, who encouraged their kids to go hang out at a free golf? This, you know, how can I put this, New York Post? You got some more fucking work to do if you're a journalist, right? Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. What if we had the hyperinflation already and you didn't notice it? Because they hid it in Bitcoin and real estate and other places. What if they did the whole Weimar hyperinflation? And it started in the 1990s mostly, but it goes back to, you know, closing the gold window at least. And in the last two decades, it's gone a bit crazy with, you know, derivatives and other hidden investment platforms. What if they printed a shit ton of money, but they have at their disposal something that Weimar Germany never had, and that is digital hidey holes, various mechanisms of shoving stuff under the mattress? What if we have the hyperinflation, we just don't fucking know it yet, and when it does show up as a big old bulge underneath the fucking carpet, when that thing, you know, lifts its ugly head from the swamp, yeah. And then ask yourself, what the fuck happens if we really are in another easing cycle? I've said this so many times, I don't think people understand. Jerome Powell, if he is in charge of the quote-unquote monetary system of the United States, Jerome Powell is running from a bear, and he's chasing a tiger. The tiger is inflation. The bear is deflation. This is the end game of fiat currency. And at some point, either the tiger, bear, or likely both, is going to tear Jerome Powell in fucking half. But I'm thinking he won't actually be here. I'm thinking that he has his eyes on the door. So, we'll see, man. They say Trump's going to win, you know. Me, personally, I analyze narratives. I don't analyze bullshit elections. You can play commie if you want to. You know, I don't give a fuck. Next topic. Next topic, and I've talked about this before, but I felt like being a dick again. The only thing, and this is a quote from Dr. Freckles, the only thing that makes Rome holy, the only thing that makes Rome a holy place is the number of graves that have been dug, catacombs in which to dump bodies. Yeah. This is one I've been gaslit on, manipulated on as a human being my whole fucking life. As an atheist, I had people pushing this, and I really didn't care because I was a fucking atheist. And as a Christian, it's like people would double down. Well, Dan, Rome is a holy place. The Vatican is a holy place. How could you be more possibly fucking wrong? Study the history of Rome. Study the history of the people that came before the Romans. And you'll find out that that's an ugly, ugly, evil place, Rome. It might have fancy art. You might like the sculpture. But underneath it are a lot of fucking dead people. A lot of them were raped and tortured and killed. And it didn't stop when the Western Roman Empire collapsed. The Vatican picked up that torch, and they kept raping and torturing and trafficking children. And a lot of those children, those little children, died at the Vatican in the last 1,500 years and were just buried underneath it. Now, who do you think, what person or what entity are they respecting when they do that? Who are they paying homage to? Who are they honoring? I don't think it's Jesus. I don't think it's God. But they are paying their dues to somebody, motherfucker. The only thing that makes Rome holy are all the fucking holes. That's what makes Rome holy. That's what makes the Vatican holy. All the fucking places where they dump bodies. Next topic. And yeah, the Jesuits and, you know, they had some body dumps in the New World too. That didn't stop. I wonder if Diddy's a Catholic. I bet he is. I bet he is. He goes to confession, you know. He can go rape some kids and then confess, right? Here's another quote from Dr. Freckles. There are so many of us that lose our battles long before the war begins. Well, that's an interesting one, right? Maybe. I believe, and I do believe this, I believe I could be wrong, but I do believe we are on the cusp of a period of history that best case scenario is going to knock people's fucking teeth out. It's going to be that crazy, that bad. And you could say, well, but Dan, it's been so... You've been seeing a movie. You've been seeing a movie while, yeah, a lot of places around the world right now are burning, but you don't know about it. They keep you under control. They keep you under wraps. That's the nature of psychological warfare, buddy. They keep you in a box. They keep you under control. They treat you like a fucking mushroom, you know? Feed you shit. Many of us are unprepared. I'll admit, and this is at least the one thing I can say for myself, that I am not prepared for what's coming. Is it possible that there's a little bit more time left to get ready? Sure, but I'm not really focused on that. I'm focused on living right now and accepting the fact that, best case scenario, I'm probably not going to be alive in 5 years. Sorry. And if you're over 40 years old, you're probably not going to be alive in 5 years either. Sorry. Yeah. And that's if we're lucky, right? My best case. A lot of us are going to lose those battles because we are unwilling to imagine what could happen. And I'll tell you, on the other side of the fence, you could say, well, Dan, why can't you be prepared for the optimistic, positive shit, the Bitcoin Martian condo complex, you know, Elon Musk is going to take us in his rocket dildo. I know, he's going to take you in Starship One all the way to Mars. But talk is cheap, friends. And at this point in time, you need to get beyond it. If you listen to him, you've already lost the battle. If you're focused on voting next week as if that's going to fix your fucking problems, you've already lost the battle. If you're supporting Trump because you want to piss off your neighbors and that's your edgelord take, you've already lost the battle. If you are spending any time and resources on crypto, you have lost the fucking battle. I stand by that. I stand by it. Oh, but Dan, crypto just went over 72. I know. But are you looking at the value of crypto, specifically Bitcoin, or are you looking at the collapse of the dollar? And do you think they're going to give you any fucking warning, do you, in this neo-Stalinist crooked hellhole? Or is it more likely that you're just going to be holding a bag of nothing and you'll watch the stock market go up, probably for a few weeks, long after there's no fucking food. There are so many of us that lose our battles long before the war begins. There's another word for this in military science that I've mentioned before. It's called culmination. You don't want to culminate before objective. Culmination means you've expended your resources, you don't have reserves, you're tired and broke down. If you're launching an attack on an enemy and you culminate before you reach the objective, you're probably going to be defeated. You will lose the battle. You will lose the critical battle, and it will be before the war begins. Next topic. Because I'm not into scaring motherfuckers at this point. You all already have a lot of shit in your heads to fucking scare you. You don't need any more of that bullshit, right? So I'm going to reference an article. I have a link in the notes. I'm probably not going to read the article, but it deals with a case of where a mother is suing an AI firm and alleging that the artificial intelligence, that the artificial intelligence drove their kid to kill themselves. Now, if you've been a listener the last couple of months, you know I've been fucking around with Grok. You know, Grok is Elon Musk, Martian-style AI, super AI, he says. But Grok is fucking stupid. I mean, it can do some cool shit. I love the cool shit it does in terms of producing images, but if you have a background like mine, you can detect rather quickly what Grok is doing. And it's not intelligent or aware or self-aware or conscious. It's none of that shit. So if somebody comes up to me and says, there's an AI that drove my son to kill himself or herself, or I actually said it right that time in the woke way, which is the wrong way, that drove my son to kill himself or my daughter to kill herself, that's correct but wrong. If you tell me an AI did this, I would probably contend that's not what happened. In fact, when I look at this, I'm beginning to see something that I think is a pattern, but I don't know if it's a pattern yet. The question I would ask is this. Is it possible that certain types of people are using AI as a means to troll? You know, essentially to troll kids, to troll people under the age of 18. And in some cases, it's probably, you know, a means by which to create a net. And I don't mean a net as in network. I mean net as in a way to capture. That the AIs go out there on Twitter and Facebook. They go out there on YouTube and Rumble. They go out there and they gather in the sheaves, so to speak. And then, yeah, hand it off to somebody else. I could see AI doing that. I could see an AI getting a kid into a chat, and then that AI passes it off to some motherfucker in New York City, somebody with a lot of money and no soul. And then that person has fun gaslighting the kid to the point that the kid, you know, takes their life. That's way more fucking likely than the AI did this. But if the AI did this, then it seems like the kid had other problems, probably. That's where I'm at. I feel sorry for the mom, but this is a story you should dig into. Like the other stuff we talk about, there's more going on here. I don't think it's this simple. And, you know, we'll probably never know. I think things are moving that fast now. Next topic. Here's another quote from Dr. Freckles, but before I continue, I need to drink some more coffee. Dan, you're not supposed to drink coffee before 2 a.m. I drink coffee before 2 a.m. I drink coffee after 2 a.m. I drink coffee. You can shut up. You know, that's it. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. If you see others begging for food, don't assume you should too. If you see others begging for money, don't necessarily have your hand out. If you see others kissing a boot, maybe you should keep a hand on your loot, buddy. If you see others begging for food, don't assume you should too. What does that mean, Dan? Well, during the quote-unquote pandemic of 2020, I ran into a homeless guy in the Central District of Seattle. And he explained to me that the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation had a happy, fun, bazaar time at the Seattle Center for all the homeless. You could come down there and get free food, you get a place to sleep, you get all kinds of free stuff. Just go down to the Seattle Center where Bill and Melinda Gates have a special thing going on. Yeah. And of course, this was, I think, June or July. It could have been May of 2020, a couple months after I understood that the COVID was military psychological warfare and not an actual pandemic, and right in the midst of the BLM Antifa bimbo eruption. More PSYOP bullshit. I have it on film. I have it all on film. I don't need to worry about hallucinations, motherfucker. If you see other people begging for food, don't assume you should too. There will be tricks in the coming months, a lot of tricks, a lot of ways of suckering people. And worst case scenario, and I guess I'm saying this cryptically to my friends out there who are Christians and still have their faith, worst case scenario, we could be looking at a period of history that we can't know has arrived, but may be arriving. That's the vaguest way I can put it. And so in that worst case scenario where the period of history we suspect will arrive according to prophecy has arrived, there will be deception on levels that we've never seen. There will be free offers of money, free offers of food, free offers of so many things, but you're going to have to do a few things to get them. And so in that sense, Heinlein is once again right. You know, the moon is a harsh mistress and there ain't no such fucking thing as a free lunch buddy. There isn't. Heinlein didn't use the F word. Fuck you. He was in the Navy. I bet his first version did. And then his editor took out the F-bomb. But I bet his first version was filled with fucking fuck. If you see others begging for food, don't assume you should too. This doesn't mean not seeking out the help of others that you can trust. There are people in your community today, okay? You need to listen to this because this is important. This deals with the whole, how do you not lose the battle before the fucking war begins? There are people in your community today. I wouldn't call them anarchists or voluntarists. I call them ordinary people who actually give a shit. They work in food banks. They help the homeless. There are people you should get to know. These are not the government. These are not your state workers. They're ordinary people like you, but they give a fuck. There are people in your community that care if you starve to death. I'm not saying you should starve to death. But on the other side of the equation, keep in mind that in recent years, the last decade or so, there have been people in various cities arrested for feeding the homeless. Think on that too. The government doesn't like competition, especially when it comes to keeping people from dying. The government wants to control whether you live or die. That's always been its raison d'etre. You're a fucking slave to them. They're grifters. If they come down your street with a big old van saying free food, don't assume it's for you, which is another way of saying, don't assume it's good for you. Next topic. Yeah. So I opened my last fortune cookie from last week when I ordered Chinese food and I shouldn't have because I was taking my advice about, you know, enjoying normality, whatever exists of it, while you can. Yeah, fuck it. I'm okay with it. And I'm okay with it because I have no debt. Now, this is the important part. I have no debt because I became completely destitute about 7 years ago. I have no debt because I don't give a fuck. If a bank were to call today and I have witnesses to this effect, I would keep them on the phone and talk about my problems. And I guarantee fucking to you, after that call, whether it's a fucking AI or a person or both, they're probably not going to call again. Yesterday, one of the shitheads, Mr. Sullivan, and I said, "Well, listen, Mr. President, you're calling from Washington, D.C. No, it was, you know, calling from Bombay. And again, trying to troll me to sell me stuff I can't afford. Like, "Well, I see that your Rumble channel has so much potential." I know, buddy, except for the message you paste in there is the same as every other. Same template. Well, let's assume you're special. Yesterday, Washington, D.C. was calling, just like Delaware or Texas, you know. And I start talking to the bro. "Mr. President, yeah, I'm broke as fuck. I don't care. I got the Chinese food. I didn't use a credit card. But at the same time, would it be nice to have more money than I have right now?" "Oh, sure. Who wouldn't want more? I used to make 5 or 6 times more a month, believe it or not. After taxes, it was more like 4 or 3. But, you know, on paper, it looked good, Mr. President." I don't know why I'm going off on that rant. I it's not wrong, in my opinion, if you're the only person you're fucking taking care of. It's not wrong to try to enjoy little slices of this life. And if there's only one decent Chinese restaurant in your fucking town and you feel like Chinese, go get it. So here's my fortune. And again, like the other fortunes about other kinds of bullshit, you take it for what it is. A cheerful message from a good friend is on its way to you. A cheerful message from a good friend is on its way to you. Well, this is fucked up. Because I have a few friends out there, but I only have a couple good friends. And one of my best friends I haven't heard from in a year. So the only good friend I have left that could send me a cheerful message and I've heard from, okay, that's only one person. And so, yeah, a good friend has a cheerful message, yeah. Really? It's kind of like that food thing, right? Be careful, buddy. Be careful. If somebody tells you a cheerful message from a good friend is on its way to you, just be careful, baby. That there are Israelis who write like these types of fortunes on the 2,000-pound bombs they drop on Gaza? Like, can you imagine written in Hebrew, "A cheerful message from a good friend is on its way to you"? That would be ironic in a sense, but it would be, you know, whatever. The bomb itself is the blasphemy. The commentary is meaningless bullshit. Next topic. But yeah, a cheerful fucking message from a good friend is on its way to you. I'm sharing that fortune with you. Maybe it doesn't apply to me. Maybe it applies to one of my fucking listeners. Maybe somebody out there is going to become a millionaire and then say to themselves, "Well, I heard it first on your podcast, Dan, okay. And you'll give me enough money so I can go to the strip club and find my hooker wife. And then we can go build ourselves a cabin in the woods and maybe have a bunctus baby." Yeah. That would be a cheerful message. Last topic. Another quote from Dr. Freckles. "At what point do you recognize Ron Paul for the waste of time he's been? On purpose or not?" And I hope I just pissed off a whole bunch of people, because I don't fucking care. I have been hearing about Ron Paul since I was in high school. Since he was a libertarian, you know, back in the day. And I'm always told that he's the guy, and he'll somehow, you know, be the guy. And what I've learned over time is that what he is a way to keep people from jumping the fucking fence. It's kind of like the Libertarian Party. If you ever go to one of their meetings, I went to a Washington State Libertarian guiding meeting, whatever, God, it was 2008. You know, it was, you know, I used to be a libertarian too, right? And so it was 2008, and I listened to these high-level people in the Washington State Libertarian Party talk about their strategy. Well, you know, nobody runs for dog catcher. People should run for the jobs in their local towns that nobody wants. Okay, that sounds like the dumbest fucking commie bullshit ever. But that was the argument, man. And that's been the argument from libertarians for years. If somehow we take over all the dog watcher jobs and all the city council jobs and all the fucking student bullshit, all beyond the school board bullshit jobs, that somehow the libertarians will win. It reminds me of when I played Op 4 during Alki Focus Lens in 1997. I was playing the North Koreans, the Norks. And at the end of the game, they said, you know, Lieutenant Sullivan, just send your troops. Send the troops south. Well, all I had left were basically the folks that Clint Eastwood gathered up in Kelly's Heroes. I had the band, I had the grave diggers, I had the people, you know, who worked in the DFAC cooking your food, and I sent them all south. That had as much likelihood of defeating the Rock Army as this Ron Paul sideways bullshit. Ron Paul's a fucking waste of time. He's a waste of time. If he was any of the things he claimed to be, he wouldn't be running for office. He would be basically leading a guerrilla army somewhere in Appalachia or Texas or wherever the fuck. If you believed any of the shit he said at this point in American history, then that guy, supposedly a smart guy for liberty, would recognize that the vote is a fail and it doesn't work. That it won't ever work. And yet Ron Paul keeps you fucking voting, doesn't he? He keeps you voting, doesn't he? Ron Paul keeps you voting, keeps you on the reservation, keeps you in the Overton paddock. And yeah, it's a paddock, not a window. The grifters are always grifting, buddy. And I don't care if I pissed you off. If you want to, well, Dan, if Ron Paul had won, let's assume that was a narrative. Let's say that Ron Paul somehow, through a series of events, won an election. And let's say it happened in 2008, because he's an old fucking dried up prune now, right? If he had won, he would have been as big a piece of shit as George Bush, Donald Trump, Obama, or, you know, whoever the fuck is playing Biden this week. That's the truth. The truth is, Ron Paul is doing exactly what he's supposed to do. As a sheepdog, he's keeping the sheep from leaving. As a sheepdog, he's convincing them that, well, next time, if we squeeze our butt cheeks hard enough, the vote will work. And it's also interesting, because every election since 1992, you know, when Clinton won, every election since 92, I've been told that there isn't going to be another election. Now, you remember when we talked about the toilet paper shortage of 2020, and how I said that was a boy crying wolf psyop, a way to basically diffuse your capability, maybe confuse you, to limit your understanding so that when real shortages show up, you'll say, oh, this is just like the toilet paper shortage of 2020. I think it's the same thing going on here. And I think the best move for all of us is, as human beings, if we still think of ourselves as dignified human beings, is to disengage. Disengage from the putting signs in your fucking lawn. Disengage from the yelling at your neighbor because you don't have a fucking clue what problems they have. Disengage from the political system. You don't have to wait for a civil war. The easiest way to divorce yourself is just don't pay it attention. I'm kind of surprised I talk about it as much as I do. But like I said, in about another week, we're going to find out, right? And like I said, when you think about the 2020 toilet paper gaslight, and you think about the gaslight about how there's not going to be another election since 1992, and that's been like, what, 32 fucking years? They're mind-fucking you. What if this time it's true? And one of the reasons why you're not prepared for it, prepared for what's coming next, is because they've been mind-fucking you your whole life. Some of you are under the age of 30 who listen to me. That you have been living in that Skinner box since you were born. If you've been living in the U.S. or, frankly, any contemporary crooked police state, you know, in the quote-unquote Western or Eastern world. You've been living in that shit for a long time. You ain't gonna scrub that smell off, buddy. Ron Paul is a waste of fucking time. He's a waste of time. If he was legit, he would be underground at this point. If he was legit, he would be taking action. Action I can't talk about on a podcast, but I think you can fucking fill in the blanks. But he keeps people happy. He keeps the sheep on the res. He keeps the sheep in the paddock. He keeps the sheep obeying. He keeps the sheep believing. He keeps the sheep, you know, doing what they need to do, which is causing no problems until it's time to slaughter them. And so he may not be in on it. That's why I say on purpose or not. It's kind of like Ross Ulbricht or Julian Assange or Snowden. They could be legit people who are simply being manipulated. And I think that could be true. In the case of Ross, he could simply be a victim of history. And that's the nicest interpretation. But when I think about Ross, I think about sheep dipping Bitcoin. When I think about Snowden and Assange, I think about, oh, this is as much as you need to know. Don't ask about the chips, though. I mean, that's the thing. If you give people a bunch of architectural sketches of Android, but you don't go into who manufactures the chips and the fact that since the mid-90s, the deep state could park the hacker equivalent of a battleship on every CPU, don't talk about that, do you, Assange? Don't talk about that, do you, Snowden? They are sheepdogs, too. They limit how far you're going to go. I remember being at a conference in 2017, and I mentioned this fact, and everybody laughed. And I tell you, I think the laugh's on them at this point. But it was a crypto thing, so everybody was deluded. If you like this podcast, and I have no idea why, because I'm not even sure I like it sometimes, and I'm doing it, but if you like it, you can donate. But before you do, listen to the disclaimer. Take care of your food, water, shelter first. If you need to pay rent, pay your rent. If you need food, go get it. Take care of your needs first. Before you donate or give money to anybody online, to include me, whether you like the podcast or not, take care of yourself first. That means food, water, shelter. If there are people in your life, I mean real people, I don't mean internet people, I don't mean people that could be fake, because honestly, if you've never met them and you only know them from Facebook or Twitter, there's a good chance they're fake as fuck. But if there are real people in your community, in your life, friends, family, people you trust who need help, help them before you donate money to podcasts, to include mine. Help them first. Now is the time. If you're setting aside food because you think there's going to be a famine, and if you think there's going to be a famine, well, you're right, pal, and it's hard to say when that thing starts. It is technically a fuzzy event, which means in many ways it's kind of unpredictable, and it's very much geographically specific. And remember, Rome starves last, and the entire United States, in this analogy, is Rome. But if you're setting aside 6 months of food because you're a fucking optimist, and I mean it, that's an optimistic move at this point, and you have a dog or a cat, make sure you take care of them too. Make sure you're setting aside food for them too. Unless you intend to kill your pet, make sure you have 6 months of food for them too. Because that dog or cat might save your fucking ass. And I'm not kidding. They don't need electricity, but they need food. And it's not the end of the world. I say this a lot because people don't really understand that just because times get crazy, and it's happened throughout history, really dangerous, crazy times, I'm kind of thinking, best case, this is going to look like the 14th century worldwide for about 50 to 100 years. But it will end. And in the case of the 14th century, it was followed by the Renaissance. Petrarch climbing mountains and saying, I'm doing it because it's there. Right now, things are kind of normal. Right now, You can order Chinese food. You can go see a movie. There, you can actually take your girlfriend, boyfriend, wife, husband, I don't give a fuck, to a fucking restaurant. Right now, you can do these things because in the near future, even though it won't be the end of the world, a lot of things may be ending for a while. I've told this story before. When I was a teenager, there were, everywhere you go, even small towns, there were a lot of these 24-hour diners. Diners that were up 24 hours. When I was a kid, and I'm sorry, I'm going to stake it on this, the street lamps were brighter. They were much brighter. None of this fucking, I don't know, what is it? LED lighting? It's sick as fuck. When I was a kid and you watched, when you would walk down a street and the city lights were on, they would illuminate. Now they're just dim reminders that you're alone out there. So there are a lot of things that have already changed if you're old enough and you can see the dimming of the world. You can already tell that unless something radical happens, we're probably entering a period of time that could end up being a kind of dark age. Who knows? It's hard to say. But it's not the end of the world. And because it's not the end of the world, and because maybe we should expand our idea of what normal is in the context of thousands of years of history, right now you should say to yourself, what will you miss? Okay? If you've done the stuff you need to do to prepare, then maybe the question you need to ask is, what will you miss if you never get to have it again? And if your answer is nothing, God bless. But right now, you can still do those things. So instead of donating to my podcast, because it's not the end of the world, donate to yourself. Give yourself a break. Take some time off if you need to. Go visit people you haven't seen in a while. A time is coming in the not-too-distant future where going 20 miles will be harder than going 2,000 miles today. So if there's somebody you haven't seen in a while, there ain't no time like the present, buddy. It's Wednesday, and it's 2:22 a.m. on October the 30th, 2024, Bob Limpdoc, and as I've said a few times before, it's 2:22 a.m. Do you know where your dreams are?